Welcome to the Starfeed Podcast. For anything and everything spaceworthy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Starfeed Episode 6, or How is Babby Server Formed? That was your cue, someone?
That was my cue.
Hello, I'm Rex.
Oh, someone was supposed to say something funny. You missed your chance.
I did.
Why
I
is
missed
it
my
repeating?
Chance.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Wait, what's happening?
Take two.
Hello, I'm
what
Rex.
The hell is
Welcome
going
to
on?
The Starfeed Podcast.
Yeah, technical difficulties. Anyway, moving on. So yeah, this is Starfeed Episode 6. How is Babby Server Formed?
It found out when we got two servers that want to merge and they share databases.
Yeah.
Aw, yeah.
What?
What the fuck is going on?
Alright, calm.
The music isn't helping.
So, yeah, we've got a long list of people here today. So
is Jukebox, like, quietly talking for anyone else? Like,
it's no. Music.
It's music, dude.
It seems to be just you.
No, like, I can
is
hear
he telling you to hurt people?
No, it sounds like Jukebox is, like, repeating what everybody else has said, like, 30 seconds later.
I think you might...
Mute the stream.
Listen! Shh. Oh my god, I'm a moron.
Yes. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good job.
10 out of 10.
Clearly we have the brightest individuals of society with us today.
Only the brightest
Dang
and
it,
best
people.
On the Starfeed Podcast.
Oh my.
Dang it, people.
It's an intro, right?
best intro we've done so far.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have we got
so,
any laughs?
Anyway, let's get started with the real show. Like I said, we've got a load of people here, so I'll just go down the list. In alphabetical order, as Mumble has decided to put it. So we start with Barman Sam. Are you here?
I am here.
Then we have the ever hilarious Commander Warsong.
I'm not that funny.
Well, you better be, because you're going to have to do a war rant at some point.
No.
So be ready.
No, ever.
Yes. So next is Deadless. Or
oh, hi.
Is that how you say your name? Deadless?
Yeah.
Okay. Myself, Fire209. Gravy Pod.
Who?
You.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was so bad.
Lessic.
Hello again. I haven't been in here since episode 1. It's good to be back.
Happy to have you back. Then we have the guy who's been here through every episode for good or bad, Molten Lava 5.
Hello.
A guess that almost everyone's going to know, Tamino-sama.
Hello.
And this must not just be in alphabetical order. It must be also in somewhat order of awesomeness, because at the bottom we have Ernot Rex.
Hello.
So, yeah, today we have a lot for you, so we might as well get started. Starting with the several changes to the StarMade Doc website recently, such as the new website chat. Replacing
Yay.
The old
Boo.
IRC.
It's cool,
okay.
Man.
So yes, we now have a chat integrated with the StarMade registry instead of the kind of hacky IRC client that was just embedded into a page on the website. Now we have a chat that is always watching you on every page, always. And some people don't feel very great about this, but I guess it works.
The only method of cleansing this is fire.
Yeah.
Every time.
No, personally, I'm all for the new chat system. I mean, I've seen how it's working and how people are still able to, you know, contact one another I'm looking forward to multiple chat rooms. I don't know about anybody else.
I agree.
Yes.
I'm very upset that they were, quote unquote, developing their own chat system and then ended up buying some really poorly made embedded chat system.
Why?
Follows you everywhere.
Well, see, I have to agree with you on that.
Why is that?
Because it's not feature-rich. It's not.
Yeah.
It's really kind of annoying.
What about the template that they use for the main site? Does that annoy you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that annoys you too.
Yes.
Did you know that Amazon costs over $120,000 to develop just the website?
Because
that's disappointing.
So, like, I think it's pretty good when you think about the budget that's at their disposal. You know.
I don't know.
I come from a history and development of websites, so it is. I can tell you, it is good.
I'm one of the people who thinks that the personality and character of something is what makes it awesome.
Do you want different colors?
No, it was more that, like, the old site felt personal. It was. Sorry,
it was a bit dated, though, wasn't it? You know, all the square edges.
You know,
if you're a cool person like myself, you use the chat on the old site because for some reason that hasn't been disactivated.
Yeah, yeah. Only real people
use the old
site. You're
such a hipster. You're being a hipster about the chat system.
Yes,
oh, please
you are.
Tell me more.
I preferred the old.
Look, mate, I've got a Gen 1 iPod. Yeah, they're better than all this other stuff. All right. It's amazing. Honestly, guys, this new system is really good. You can turn it off if you don't like it, you know. And there's always Mumble. Mumble, so.
I'm just kind of sad that they got rid of IRC.
IRC.
The IRC is still there.
I know, but.
The problem with IRC, there's a skill wall, mate, with IRC, unfortunately.
Exactly.
That's the problem. And you can't overestimate the education of the user base of a video game. Do you know what I mean? We're not all IT technicians.
The embedded client was easy enough for everybody to use. And if you can't type your username into a box and click OK, then I don't know how you log into the site.
It's the password, mate. It doesn't work with the registry, so it's like you got to set up another password. And just, does anybody want to run through how to set up a password on IRC? We could be helpful. Anybody want to run through that?
I don't know.
It's a pain. Oh, yeah.
Well, with the embedded client that they had, you could just type slash password, and that logs you in. And also, Google.
Setting a password, mate. From a new user, yeah? I've just come into the site. I want to set a new password and start using the thing. And, like, what do I have to do? And I'm 9 years old as well. Go.
Open up Google. Stare at the page and gain 4 more years on that number 12.
Gain 4 more years.
And then
that was brilliant.
And then you're able to log in hopefully without any problem.
Well, looking at my demographics, I can tell you now that a considerable swathe of the users of this game, they might not be so vocal, probably because of embarrassment with age, but a lot of people in the younger bracket play this game.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
Which is nice. I like that. It means they're graduating from Minecraft to something with more.
Something with more meat to it. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
We need to be able to plug these kids in pretty easily, welcome them into the community, make them feel welcome, make them feel at home, and then they buy the game and they stick around and they make awesome stuff for the rest of us to play with.
Unless you're me.
Move on.
Yep.
Because you can't make awesome stuff if you're me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. I saw your frame last night.
I believe that we are angering the Calgary and possibly a few other people who do not want to hear about this. So I'm going to move on to the other less known aspect of the recent update. New terms of use changes. Yay. I know, seriously, people don't want to hear about that. So I'll just basically say a lot of stuff in it's been clarified. So there's going to be a lot of less douchebags finding loopholes to mess with people. Moving on.
Speaking of douchebags, I've noticed some people have been popping back into chat after being banned because they weren't banned on that.
That's right. Every 6 months or something, if you have a dynamic IP, and sometimes it's less, it will change. So if you have IP ban, you can get back in with a new IP and a new user quite easily. Like, because ISPs changed the IP you had when you were banned. if you have a static IP, you can just ring them up and change it.
Yeah. Luckily, it's tied into the registry now, so it's a little bit harder. But let's move on to the terms of service.
I really didn't want to cover that because, honestly, it's a lot of legal talk, and who wants to hear about that? People are here to hear us rant about stuff. But if Orsong really wants to go over it, then
I would love to hear. I would love to hear.
I will just say one thing about the terms of service. All right, the terms of service have been altered because people just don't really want to bother with behaving. They want to show up and just have a bunch of misconduct and be little dorks. And that's fine. But now we have to enforce a way of keeping people from doing that. That way the rest of us can actually be productive in the game that we love.
So yeah, now moving on. There has also, in the last 2 weeks, been an update to StarMaid itself. It's not a particularly big update, but there are some pretty significant changes nonetheless. Namely, Calibri's new crafting system has been completed.
Why is that?
I love it.
Yay!
It's amazing.
It is.
It's much better than the crafting system that required a diagram the size of my screen to explain how to craft something.
So, I did three survival challenges over it, and it's brilliant. Just brilliant.
Yeah, and the website's always being improved. The website's always having changes to it. And that's one of the great things about the game is that, you know, they mirror each other. The changes that you see to the website, you're going to see those same changes in the game. The changes in the game are going to cause changes in the website. They're both continuously evolving. And I say, let's go with it, man. I mean, the crafting system alone, the new way that we're setting up shielding, where we have to actually have shielded chargers instead of having, you know, just the shielding blocks spammed all over the place. People are having to actually think about stuff. The logic system. How much fun is everybody having with this logic system? And then we're going to be able to craft with logic? Holy crap.
Logic Fiesta.
I still have no clue how to logic.
The only real thing I can imagine it could tick off people over is that doing it through logic, it means that people who really think out how to set up their factories are going to have an advantage over the people that just want to get done simply and get over with and go back to shooting pirates.
Well, should they not have an advantage if they invest the time into that?
Yes, they should, but some people would probably make that argument, so I was just playing it out.
What advantage is that?
We had
getting constant resources.
We want
building shit on
them. You still gotta mine them.
Yeah, on our server we actually had a very big problem with the factories a while ago. One of our admins who had played for a while left for a few months and came back, and his factory had apparently started producing a few trillion items per tick.
Yeah.
And the server did not enjoy that.
Yeah, with the old system, we tested it out on when they first released the last system, and it was possible to max, you know, create a max stack within an hour if you made the whole station out of enhancers.
Well,
every tick, it was producing billions, and it just went dead.
If it was only that, then yes, that'd be great. If it was an hour, I would have loved to see an hour to take a full stack, but we looked at some of the values, and we were getting a full stack every second.
Yeah, but that's because of the way you've designed it, and you still need to feed it with items. You can't just magic them in from nowhere. So no matter how quick it goes, it doesn't matter if you can't feed it.
It was just crazy. We were chasing our tail for a few months, trying to figure out why the server would lag or something whenever someone went around a certain area. Well, we found out that it was a factory.
Luckily the new system doesn't seem to work in the same way. Like, it's a lot more efficient, and if you set up a big production line like that, it doesn't seem to cause any lag. Even with the current implementation of it, we've got people mass producing stuff, and like I say, the bottleneck is the gathering. is, you know, if you give ID yourself 2 billion blocks, then yeah, sure, you're going to produce a lot of items, aren't you? But if you got to mine it, there's that time element that regulates it for you.
Yeah, that's definitely helping this new update.
I'm a particularly big fan of the whole station scrap idea. This theory that you can't just go out there and start, you know, pulling apart a station and have like a mountain of blocks to work with. You're going to get scrap unless you register the entire station to yourself, which is fine.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think we want this entire stream to be about the crafting system.
Well,
so
can I just give everyone a challenge, which is what I said to other people.
Okay.
Get your favorite salvager, go out for an hour, set up a factory, have it pre-set up if you want, resource gather for half an hour, and cook your items for half an hour. See how much you've got left.
Cook?
Cook, as in turn it into Grey Hull.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's really easy. You can just scrap a station and you've got, like, I think we worked out, because it takes, the bottleneck is the amount of time, so you've got to have a good system with lots of enhancers, but most I could make was 45,000, so there you go, beat that.
All
if anyone
thinking...
can beat that, you've got to mine it from scratch.
All I was thinking was you in a chef hat.
Hey?
I was thinking about you in a chef hat cooking with Tamino Summer.
Making gray holes.
But yeah, Tamino, you may want to put that in stream chat so people who want to write that down so they can do it later and send the results to you can go ahead and
sure.
do that. And while you're doing that, I'll move on to the next part of the recent update, 0.174. And honestly, this part of the update kind of makes me sad because this kind of patches a trick that I have loved for a long time, and that is that you can't just scrap a default station and get rich really quick. Now, whenever you mine a default station, you just get scrap. You don't get blocks, you get scrap material. I don't know if that's just a new item called scrap or if it's just like raw resources. If we could get Calbury to clarify on that, that'd be nice so that we could point that out in a minute. But yeah, the scrap is worth a lot less than the blocks were, so you can't get rich off that real quick.
And I'm all with for that. I'm all for that. I do see that we have new world manager as well.
Yeah. We've got a new world manager so that you can finally have multiple universes / databases / worlds, if you want to call them that, from the Minecraft point of view. I don't know why I just mentioned the forbidden word, but please forgive me. We've also...
Burn the heretic.
Heretic.
It also seems like a few textures have been switched for... improved visual sexiness.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we go for nowadays, just improved visual sexiness.
Mm-hmm. And also, we have multi-slots in the inventory. So you can separate your inventory into normal blocks, wedge blocks, penta blocks, tetra blocks, and corner blocks.
I'm using that right now, it's so handy.
And don't forget the quick touch. You got that touch toggle. You know, you can hit the number and it'll cycle through them as well. That's super, super amazing.
Yeah, just the speed is...
The astronaut mode rotate.
That's good as well, yeah.
It's beautiful.
And
everything's beautiful.
It's all coming together.
This game's beautiful.
And also it seems that it increases the amount of blocks you can have in your hotbar at any one time. By 5 times the previous amount.
Yup.
Which in itself sounds great to me because I've had several problems with only being able to fit 10 things in my hotbar at a time while building ships or stations.
Yeah, you got 10 things on your bar and 3/4 of them are pentas and tetras and full blocks and stuff.
If you combine this with the fact that you can shift-click things in and out of your additional storages on your ship or station with the drop-down list in inventory, now it's just like, click, 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 click. You can put all your hulls in one box, all your ship items in one box, and you just drop it down. The only way they could improve it, I reckon, now is if you could title the storages so it wasn't such a big, long list. Do you know what I mean? If they're all the same, if you had, I think that was actually discussed a long time ago. So maybe it's still on the big plan in the sky.
We also have something that most people aren't going to care about, but the majority of our guests today are server hosts, so it's probably going to make them happy. There has been a major server lockup bug fixed.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I've been bugging Schema for a while to do that.
Yeah, I took a couple hours of probing, but that man works hard and fast. That's all I'm saying.
He promised me at one point, if I could get him some logs from the server, he would end quote definitely fix it.
No, it is. So it's fixed. It's fixed in dev.
I'm just saying this is a story about how I annoyed him to do it. So I wrote some code to automatically ping the server, see if it was up, and grab a copy of the logs and capture some of the memory to make sure that he could get all the information he needs. And I bugged him for a week to go look at it, and once he did, he was on point for fixing it.
Interesting.
Yeah, all that I put all that code up on my GitHub thing.
Yeah, nice little self-promotion there, but that really does sound useful for fixing bugs, so anyone else who is watching that needs that sort of code may want to go get it. But back on topic, there's also been a load of other bug fixes that I'm not going to go into detail on because I could go on forever on that, and really, who cares? Well, everyone cares, but...
I was going to say, everyone does. It's our game. We need it to be less buggy.
Yeah, that's the latest update. So now we can move on to today's main topic, the interview of the Ellen Eternity crew, as in Gravy Pod, Bomberman Sam, and Deadless. And we've also got Tomato in here, so I guess he could give some of his feedback on what they're doing right and wrong.
Say yeah. What?
You get to criticize the L in Eternity, guys.
Say what? That's not how we roll at Mushroom Fleet, dude.
Amen, baby.
Well, if you just want to give
okay, here we go. I'll give you a piece on Elwyn Eternity. It's an amazing server with amazing devs, and you should really go and check them out because they've got some great builders. And like I say, it's a great gaming experience. So there are many servers you can choose, and I would recommend them highly.
Well, thank you.
Listen, three.
Was that criticism? I'm not sure.
It was constructive, and it definitely did stroke our enormously large ego, so I guess it always helps.
And,
remember, red, white, blue, shift.
We look forward to more collaborative events in the future.
That would definitely be fun.
But yeah, let's go on from the butt-kissing and go on to the main topic here, and that is, what is Elwyn Eternity, and what do you do?
We are a gaming community, and we host game servers and troll on forums to get players onto our servers.
Kidnap all the players.
Kidnap all of them, yes. Deadless, you have anything to add?
Hopefully from Redshift.
Hopefully from Redshift, those commies, yes.
About how many, I'll say, semi-active to fully active players do you have at any one time?
Daedalus.
Oh god, that number varies.
We have about 10 to 20.
Depends. Like, sometimes it's one, 1 week, then a bug's fixed, and the next week it's 10, and the next week it's 20, and then another bug is introduced. We fall back down to one or two.
Weekends are usually our peak time.
Be fair, mate, it's way more than that.
Yeah, sometimes.
I watch the stats, too.
We'll see.
It's, The trouble with numbers, right, is when you look at the log, you look at see how many people are on, you're looking at that particular time of day, at that snapshot in time, and it doesn't reflect accurately a 24-hour period, because obviously it's an international game. People connect from New Zealand to like, San Francisco, so it's like, it's difficult, really. But yeah.
Yeah, well, I like the statistic we took from 7/13 that month. That was a funny month.
Because I can tell you from the number of people that, like, engage in posts and stuff like that, it should be anywhere around 100 for most of us. Some people don't even post, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to work it out, basically.
Yeah, it's hard. You can only really get rough estimates. Very difficult to accurately gauge, because sometimes people leave, sometimes people come back. It's hard to focus down on that little statistic.
Unless you run like a regular event, it's difficult, because this is the thing. When I was doing lineups every week, we'd get 50 people show up in the first 5 minutes, you know? So, and then they just keep queuing up all night. I had to stop doing it because the lines were like 5 sectors long, and we have big sectors here. It was taking like 5 hours a day to film everything. Yeah, like midnight till 5 a.m. Okay, that's another lineup. Oh my god.
That's your refit Thursdays as well.
Yeah, that's more fun. I get to actually build something in that feature.
So, I'll give the Elwyn guys one last chance to just talk about themselves before they have to start giving tips for new server owners. And this is also a question that I have been wondering a long time myself. Why is the community and the server called Elwyn Eternity?
Well, okay. That's a story. So a while ago, one of my friends that I met online, his name's Boom27777777. We got
necessary
really
information.
Very necessary. We got plastered one night, and every story that starts with that is going to be a good one. So we went on to a name generator site, and we said, "What would make the craziest name, a name that you could think of ever?" And so we picked the places to draw names from was Arabic, Scottish, Irish, British, Russian, and American. So it would make a name that was like kind of like something from all of those places. And the name that popped out was Cheat Elwyn. So I said, well, I'm going to use Elwyn for our gaming community. And that's just how we picked it. We just got plastered, went to a random name generator and chose that.
Excellent. That's the best way of doing things,
random name generators and lots of alcohol. Yeah, that's the only way to really do anything.
So yeah, the next part here is the staff organization section. I put this here because I have seen a lot of new server owners, when they're first advertising their server, say, first 5 people to come onto the server get admin. And this is a terrible thing to do. So.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
What?
That happens. I'm gonna call you Tom because I don't think I can say the name that you have in Mumble right now.
I have seen so many Minecraft servers that are like that. They're like, first 5 people to join get a stack of diamonds or powers.
It sounds bad, but they're just little kids, so that's why it's run that badly.
Well, good luck to them for trying to work together, I guess, and like host a server and stuff. You know, fair play for trying.
Yeah. Basically, the way I found my admins was I got into StarMade by playing the game with a friend of mine named Elgar, and we played the game for a while in single player and said, well, apparently you can host a server. Decided to give that a try. And it was way more work than we thought it would be. So he's retired, so he stays on for most of the day and sleeps sometimes. But sleep is for the week, so he was on almost all the time. And we kept on doing it this way, where we were the only 2 people who had admin privileges, until, like, our third update in, when we had, like, 10 players, and we just couldn't keep up. And basically, I just picked the person I like the most from the community and said, "You have an admin. You're an admin now." Because I trust you not to be a dick.
Remind me how I decided to ask you people about this again, because that still doesn't sound like a good idea, but I guess it worked out for you.
Yeah, it basically you just have to choose people who you know aren't going to be destructive or destroy things on the server. And people who you trust with, you know, not being...
Be a good judge of character.
Yeah, be a good judge of character. That's rule number one.
Seems more about attitude, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you really need to talk to them.
Some of our admins aren't level-headed, but you need some people who can just get angry or get upset or do something sporadic every once in a while, because there's not one tool that fits every situation.
You need people skills, basically.
Yeah, if you don't have people skills, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, or if you're easily riled up, it's probably not a good idea, because you won't have a good time.
Yeah, people like me don't like to mess around with people like that. I definitely recognize that I'm not the easiest person to moderate, Lorsong. So, kudos to you for putting up with me.
And, part two.
I got mentioned and I'm a little weirded out by that. But No. I have nothing against people who are, you know, having some sort of issue for a little while. It's just, you know, don't make it a habit. You know, some folks make it a habit, and I know you've not made it a habit. So me and you, we're squared away.
Well, it's just that I get bored when there's nothing to do, and red, white, blue shift was the funniest thing I could think of at the time.
Yeah, let's not go into that, and let's go into the part two of the staff organization question. And here is the scenario for you, whether you had good choices for your fellow admins or not, there is the fact that power corrupts all. So what kind of restrictions would you say you have to put on your fellow admins so that they don't turn the community into their own personal hell playground?
I yell loud.
Just become a drill sergeant, and yeah, that will just do everything for you.
Apparently, one of my friends was a drill sergeant. One of my father's friends. He said that one of their activities that they would do to train them was they would get a tumbleweed, put it in between six of the candidates, and they would yell at it for 12 hours. They would yell at tumbleweed, insulting its mother and saying its father was stupid, and all of this for 12 hours straight. No, they just stood there and yelled at tumbleweed. If you can't do that, then you're not going to be able to control people. Because people apparently listen when you yell loud enough. Proof of that is like the news.
Or you hold a very big stick.
That's the bad cop technique.
Well, I also have Daedalus do a lot of the mitigation between the staff. So nice. Daedalus is one of the people that you might want to ask about that. Daedalus.
Diplomacy.
Okay, yeah, so
Daedalus is a good cop.
Okay, yeah. Daedalus, how would you say you have to manage your fellow admins?
Our admins usually aren't that much of a problem. Most of us mind our own business, building very far away from everybody else.
You're cutting yourself off, Daedalus.
I am?
Yes.
Whoops.
Yeah, you still are doing it.
Most of our admins are good.
So, but what would you do if one of them suddenly became corrupt and just started harassing people?
Probably my faction and Shrek.
we would, for one, undo whatever they did.
Yeah.
We take daily-ish backups, since sometimes a backup can take more than a day. So,
with a 180 gig database.
Yeah, with a 180, wait, actually, how big is it? I'll find out while I'm talking. And what was I talking about? Sometimes you have to apologize to people on behalf of other people, and a lot of the work goes into making sure you don't pick somebody who isn't mature.
Okay, and now let's get a third perspective on this, because I was going to ask anyway, but also it looks like someone in Twitch chat has also asked for this. What is Tamino's outlook on this scenario?
And admins. Also,
yeah, how you two handle your fellow admins when they may possibly do wrong?
Ah. Well, basically, admins can do whatever they want, because as admin, they've got access to every command. So all you can really do is trust them and appoint them properly. Like Daedalus was just saying, basically, you can have hard and soft admins, you can be diplomatic, or you can just go in and get them. But the point is, you've got to have people who are willing to take the really troublesome ones to one side and ban them. I mean, we use the ban system pretty effectively. We've never really had any griefers. Like, the few that manage to get through, it's like a T-cell reaction. The players just, like, they just report and they get kicked and banned and they never get seen again. The few people that sort of skirt across the line, that's sort of a legitimate gameplay, if you know what I mean, because they want to be a pirate, so they're going to cause trouble. And you've got to let them to a certain degree. But if they get caught red-handed and they're being rude about it, if they're getting abusive, they're equally just as well going to get banned. And if the admins step out of line, usually it'll be taken on a case-by-case basis, won't it? So I can't actually think of a case where they've genuinely done that. Like, they've genuinely gone, I'm going to get this guy and really, like, mess with him without, you know, I don't think anyone's ever reported that in the time that we've been doing it. But I guess they'd lose their admin. That's the bottom line, isn't it? If that happened. It's that simple.
Overall, I think it's just based on respect at the end of the day. If they don't have respect for the server, then what's the point of them being there? Like, yeah. there is a line, obviously, like you said, but if they just don't have any respect for the server, just get rid of them.
Because, like, I would like to see a little bit more than just player admin. It'd be nice if we could have custom let settings, like moderator 1, moderator 2, or something, that have different levels of permission for commands. Because at the moment, it's a bit chaotic giving everybody the shutdown command. If you had one admin that didn't like the server anymore, say he woke up one day and decided that he didn't want to play it anymore, and then 6 months later, I'm still an admin. I'll log in and start shutting their server down. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm just thinking it's a little bit, you know, I would prefer not to give everybody but super admin stuff like that, you know, or whatever, in a structure, basically. For some people, you just want to moderate the chat, you know?
Yeah, make sure that everything stays clean and nobody's spamming obscene words.
Like, I don't, like, for example, I don't think that every admin should be given the spawn mobs command, because at the end of the day, you don't need every admin. If you've got 20 admins, you don't need them all spawning 100 mobs a day. It just fills the universe up.
we've actually had to start auto cleaning those out. I had to write something to clean those out, because at one point, apparently StarMade cleans them out by itself, but it will only do it on our server whenever there gets to be like 7 or 8,000 pirates. So I'll sit there for like 10 minutes just bleeding pirates, and nothing else happened on the server. It will just sit there for 8 minutes or 10 minutes, bleeding pirates, and nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There definitely does need to be permission levels, and there definitely needs to be more flexibility with how you assign ranks.
Because a lot of people... Yeah. Because you have a good team, don't you? But the problem is that sometimes they work against each other. We had this great instance of a player who got completely annihilated whilst building his station before he home-based it. Like, completely annihilated. And it was because he was a sector below an admin who was doing some pirate testing at the time. And a few of them floated his way. These things were massive. And he had no chance.
That poor guy.
So, you know, that could have been an instance of abuse, but there was when we looked into the logs, it was a genuine, whoops, these things happen, spaces are smaller than we think, you know?
Now, I'll give you guys this really quickly. The Doomsider Titan Smasher Daemon has a system of permissions already set up that you can use.
Nice.
Source code is out there. But it'd be great if that works in vanilla.
Yes. The main problem with I won't get into the technicals, because I'm assuming that's not what you want right now, Fire. But there's some problems that I've discussed with some people. It looks all shiny, yes, shiny, and it does work. So I guess that's what's important.
So I guess.
Like, so, yeah.
Guess with that, we'll move on to the next section, which I titled for myself The Handling of Idiots, or in
Yay. A
better description, How Do You Handle Dishing Out Warnings, Bans, and Other Disciplinary Actions Against Players?
Oh, this is my favorite part.
Yes.
If you can go look at that.
That's we had the story prepared.
We had the story prepared. We knew exactly what we were going to do when you said the idiot player. If someone could put that in chat, because I don't have the stream open.
I'll do it.
We do have our fair share of special person who joins the server and doesn't know how to control themselves. Daedalus tells the story better than I do.
And Bell tells it the best, but unfortunately he's not here.
Yeah, so Daedalus.
So basically...
You mean a blueberry cookie?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
The ones. Can I poke it? Look at me, I'm doing a barrel roll. Come on. You know the type of player.
Yeah.
They're new, and they're hyperactive, and they're, like, super, super... They're, like, they're vibrating with excitement.
They're pumped that they just made a core, and they're about to wreck some... They're about to wreck the biggest faction up with their core with three anti-meta cannons or something attached to it that can't even
you
move.
Got it. Yeah. I love it. I love those guys.
They sit there, like, for hours just with a can of Red Bull, just downing it.
Just vibrating.
Shaking the chair and keeping warm.
That's it.
Vibrating into objects, causing collision errors.
Yeah, basically, that's my favorite one. Daedalus, so tell us about the Englishborn.
Alright. In that picture, you see the main topic of the story is Vigtyr there. And the thing that prompted this story that Bell made was he said, not everyone is Englishborn.
What?
So then...
Read the image, it's hilarious.
Oh, wow. Morans. That's an Irish bar I go to.
Okay, then, let's continue.
So Bell decided to quote the good old Skyrim themed trailer. And he said, but there's one they fear. In their tongue, he is Vigtyr, English-born.
Oh my god.
That's perfect.
It's beautiful. I don't think there could have been a better situation. But,
with Englishborn.
With the special groups,
the crafting system.
Like to,
oh my god,
Norman.
It couldn't be simpler. You just put stuff with stuff and you get everything. Unless it's like expensive, in which case you have to put it. It's like, what are those dolls? The Russian dolls? You just put the doll in a doll and it gets a bigger doll. Yeah?
Yeah,
all the way up to
dolls.
Hardened hull. Done.
Or a stalker or something
I love
like
it.
That.
No, nesting
it's brilliant.
Dolls.
Yeah, nesting dolls.
Yeah. It's really simple. You just harvest the stuff and you've got the stuff you need to make the stuff. Just don't be an idiot and spend it all on freaking crystal and metal mesh. Like, I'm going to put all my
don't
crystals and all my ore
all
into
your
metal mesh.
On yours.
Ah! Well, that's the different story, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we like to deal with... there's two types of people we get. There's the kind of people who honestly don't mean to harm people, and are just very challenged sometimes. And we do our best to help them, isolate them from people if they get violent. By that I mean spamming the N-word, which is happening for like
ban.
Hours on end.
Can I just shout ban as soon as I hear anything that I would just ban someone for? Because
go ahead.
Yeah.
Like
and then there's the kind of people who like to say, can I have admin? And I love this. I love this. This is my favorite thing because I like to go through a little book or something that I have sitting next to me and try and find the most complicated question that I could pull out of anywhere. So I'll ask them, can you, if somebody asks for admin, I'll say, yes, you can have admin if you can prove Fermat's last theorem. Sure.
Yeah.
In chat in the next 10 minutes. And they'll freak out and they'll go to Google
Google
and they'll
it.
Be like, what is Fermat? Is that a temperature? we've had people who
like
freak
that.
Out. Yeah,
an
it's
aptitude
a nice
test.
An
apt- I like
if,
that.
If you have the ability to become a PhD in any field you want at that moment, then I, you know what? You can be my admin. I don't care how much of a dick you are. If you're an honorary doctor, within 10 minutes doing something that took somebody 30 years, then I mean, screw it. You can be an admin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, challenge accepted.
To be honest, I'll say that a lot of people that have been given admin on the server are what we call a silent admin, because we're a recording-based community. So obviously we've got about 30 YouTubers, and they have admin, but they're trusted to never interact with anybody with those commands, you know? And they do very well, because all they do is they use it to record their videos. So what we do provide is basically a massive umbrella under which you can get like decent frame rates and good player interaction on film. So that was always the whole idea behind it anyway.
But the basic way we deal with the special people is isolate them, or ask them something that is too complicated for them and watch them melt down.
But like I say, if you've just demonstrated some crazy video with a bunch of After Effects, you can hear the guy commentating, he's level-headed, he's done a bunch of videos, he's got an audience. Chances are he's not an idiot, and once you get him on TeamSpeak and talk to him for a couple of days, they're usually solid, you know? So, and they don't want to get involved in player disputes, so they're happy to leave that to the proper admins that are active and doing that. So that's what I'm talking about with different levels. See, I would like to give the YouTubers no access to stuff like ban, because obviously they don't need to get involved in any of that. I mean, if someone was saying racist obscenities in chat, then they're getting permabanned instantly. There's not even going to be a discussion. So.
As expected.
Yeah.
I used to admin on a small private server, only like 5 or 6 people on most of the time.
Yeah.
And there was this moron who did not comprehend how home base security worked, and he kept trying to blow up people's home bases in this very small ship. About, I'd say it was maybe 10 blocks. Half of the blocks on it were rocks, and it just flew around pinging away at people's ships, doing absolutely nothing. And he tried to get me to ban somebody for invincible hacking one of their ships because it was docked to a home base and he couldn't kill it.
Some people.
Back when Blueprints, there was a Blueprint bug where you could just change the value of your ship. I think Tom will know this one. I'm going to call you Tom again. People could make a blueprint in single player, and you could just change one value inside of the blueprint file and make a 10 billion credit ship, like one credit. So you could buy it.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, see, the funny thing is, right, that you could, there's a tolerance now, isn't there? And we actually have it at 30%. So if it's outside of 30%, if there's a discrepancy in price, it's just not going to load in. You're going to lose all your money, which I find to be extremely entertaining. But the thing is, before, I mean, the biggest problem we ever had with that was the time when they introduced death credits, because there was a problem with it. It was supposed to take it away, but it gave you credits. And within 7 suicides, you had max credits, and there was just so many titans flying around headbutting each other. It was chaos.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We eventually had to our solution to people doing any exploit and spawning in a huge ship is we have the sun in one of the sectors on our server.
We just teleport
people to the center of it and watch them get very angry.
Well, the sun used to be stronger. I believe that the sun should be about 20 times more powerful now, because even with an 8,000 wide sector, you can still fly through it with no shields and only lose about 5 blocks.
Yeah.
So. But that being said, right?
People somebody whined about to do not that, being able to fly through a sun, so we nerfed it to an obscurity.
Yeah, well what
I
it
definitely
was,
want some big options.
It should be better, like stronger. I mean, to be honest, if somebody was doing that exploiting, we have a rule: if you don't share the exploit, you get banned, because we report the exploit on the day. And it gets closed, because we don't like exploits. We want to run vanilla. So we want it to be the best experience possible by the time they get to launch. So if I like, oh, I found this exploit and I'm not going to tell anyone, that's so selfish that we just don't really want you involved with us sort of thing.
Yeah, we've had problems, like small little bugs that have been funny.
Yeah.
One was that there was a stack of blocks that was like 3 blocks that you could keep on pulling half out.
Oh, no.
And we eventually had someone with a lot of faction modules. let's say it was above like 3 billion. Because they had quite a few chests. They had quite a lot of time, apparently. They sat there pulling out faction modules. And they got bored. So they eventually told me, and I said, wow, that's pretty good. You could keep half. I just thought it was funny because he didn't know that faction modules on our server were dropped down to 100 credits. and he spent all day on it. I didn't want to break his heart.
Even if you've got a billion of them, that's still 100 billion credits.
Our shops are too far apart to liquidate that.
Like, yeah, maybe just go time. Super rare. I'm an advocate of super rare shops because I think that players should set up their own trade lanes and manufacture their own stuff.
Yeah.
It's not hard. Literally, if I can make 45,000 hull in an hour on my own, what can a player with a corporate with like a load of buddies in a faction do?
Well, we've definitely seen some funny stuff. Daedalus, you wanna talk about oh my god, what were they called? Blade
Falcon. Shop wall.
Yeah. Oh god, Blade Falcon.
You that yeah, then you can talk about the shop wall.
Blade Falcon has had. Let's see, we went to their planet once. And
it was a
just by center. Having their, yeah, just by having that sector loaded, the server started lagging because they had this giant factory set up with the old factory system.
Oh right, the old system.
They could, I think, they pretty much had infinite of every type of block. In
the game. Yeah, to be honest, you really need to do a universe reset. I think very, it's like because there's so much stuff has changed, and you've got all that old stuff knocking about. At one point, we were doing a reset every day, just on the basis that all this new stuff has come in. So let's do it.
We do soft resets where people can claim sectors that they want to keep, stay around.
Oh yeah.
And Bomber, you want to talk about the wall of shops?
So on the topic of Blade Falcon, we had to do a complete reset.
Okay, apparently no.
a soft reset, which people saved their items. But after we did that, after we reset, there was a bug where we ended up having a line of shops expansive through the entire plane of the universe.
That happened to me when I hosted a server too. It was just a single solar system.
Oh,
but
I know what you're talking
entire,
about.
The entire no. left wall of that the solar system was just all shops.
That was a bug. That was a bug. It was a bug that was fixed a while back. Basically, it was really funny, yeah, because people would spawn. They're like, there's no shop at the spawn. What do we do? And then they'd find it in like the middle of nowhere and it would be an entire wall. Like, I know what you're saying. If all the sectors on the y-axis were shops.
Yeah. Just. Except ours was worse because it was not only on the x-axis, but it was on the x and the z. So it was just a wall of shops.
Too thick.
And, yeah, too thick. So,
that was only in the universe.
Yeah, that's when we introduced our voting rewards, which was you could get some blocks. And we had people go mad because after a week, all of the shops were already out of credits.
Yeah.
So they had to keep going and going out. It was hilarious.
That's the funny thing about setting up a good server. There's a lot of custom settings which you've got to look at in the server.cfg, and if you don't look at them, you're going to have problems.
I love seeing people freak out and go from one shop to the next shop to the next shop.
Oh yeah.
It's a funny thing to look at.
It's funny, actually, the economy is a bit of a problem to when you really get down to it, because you don't, you know, where does it all come from?
Yeah, the magical mystery place of
the trade guild.
Shops.
Yeah, the magical shops. See, they're a crutch, really, but it's only because people aren't used to crafting yet, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually, because you can make everything now, like, I love playing survival in this game now. Because endgame is.
Yet?
Can you make what do you mean? Like the pistol?
Laser gun. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the conditions is you just do give all items, or give items all negative whatever, and then you can, you keep your meta items, but you don't have anything else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like pistols, heal beam, power beam, all that stuff you can have, that's fine. Until they make it somehow available through the game, I think it's okay to start with all your gear.
Yeah. I mean, those weapons are also quite handy.
Yeah.
And fun you... for little PvP tournaments.
Well, you need the power beam to start up your factory and make your first power block.
Yeah, you do, actually.
So that's like step one. But after you've done that, it's clean sailing. Like, it doesn't even take long anymore. It used to take way too long. I'll be the first to admit that. Like, I did a Let's Play Survival series, and it was like 13 episodes long, and we'd like built one salvager with six of us. And this thing had six blocks. It was like terrible. It was tiny.
My favorite startup move was just to go to a planet, grab a bunch of dirt, and just exploit the cubitons as much as you can.
Gone now. That's it, yeah. They're gone. And we did a challenge recently, and our experienced players immediately went to salvage a station, and of course it's scrap now, isn't it? So they were like, wait, we've got to buy it to make it real blocks first for what it costs? We don't have enough for that. And then they were like, so now we've got this scrap, what do we do with scrap? And it was like, it set them back about half an hour in the race. Because what we did was a hardcore crafting challenge. So start with nothing, start on a planet, in twos or threes as teams. And the idea is you've got to craft your way to jump drive. And just, you've got to race. First guy to make a jump drive ship that works wins. It's quite an interesting little challenge because you've got to craft it up. I tell you what, that jump drive computer is expensive.
Well, it would be bad if it was cheap.
It would be, but it really makes you appreciate the value of the blocks.
Yeah, because if everybody and their dog has a jump drive ship, it's not really that impressive.
No. I mean, in the crafting, it's like you've got to choose between your weapons computer or your jump drive computer, and you're not going to be building any guns anytime soon if you decide to start making a jump drive computer, unless it's like a tiny little scout ship that's like less than 40 blocks. You know what I mean?
And
yeah, it's really nice.
I hate to cut this discussion short, but we do have one more thing to cover in our discussion overall. And for the last 45 minutes or so, we have been talking about actual in-game aspects of hosting a server. But this last one covers the real-world part of it, the technical aspects. And I'll start with asking, what type of hardware does it take to keep up Elwyn Eternity? As well as, I guess, I'll ask Tamino, what does it take to keep up Mushroom Fleet?
You mind if I go back to what we used to run on? That's a funny story.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So I had this VPS with a really nice company called Remnode, and it had 4 gigs of RAM and 4 gigs of VSwap, which is when you're talking about virtualization. Some providers will give you temporary RAM that you can kind of use as swap, which is just basically spare RAM that the operating system can choose to use. So it eventually came to the point where we were using all of the spare resources we were provided all the time. And one weekend, I had to run to the bank and put some money in so I could upgrade the server. Because we were just maxing out everything, and nobody was very happy with us. We had like 30 players on. They were like, admin, why I'm lag? Admin, help.
Admin, I am lag.
Admin, I am lag, yes.
I am admin,
dude, this story admin server is so R down.
So then we went to OVH, and so far they've been great. We have a server with them for 32 gigs of RAM right now. We have all of that is dedicated to StarMade. It uses about 6 to 16, depending on that's from 2 to 10 players.
Depending on how StarMade feels.
Yeah, depending on how StarMade feels at that current moment. And we have an 8-core processor, each running at I'm sad that I don't know this by heart, but it's at 3.4 gigahertz. It's the Xeon E3 family. So, it's a very powerful machine. we use a lot of it.
Okay. We do occasionally split it to run the battle server for factions as well.
But not as often. That's for some reason we can't. I haven't clocked StarMade using more than 20 gigs of RAM, which is, I think, a blessing and a curse. Because sometimes I wish that I could just feed it more and just have it run better.
I know that
more RAM than its throat.
I know that when I got into StarMade, is just playing with my friends. There was like five of us probably. We literally had about three gigs for our and it was on our friend's computer, which I just forgotten the specs after. Damn it! But yeah, so 3 gigs for a server, which nowadays is ludicrously low. But that was just to keep like low players. So if you want to start off somewhere, just playing with your friends, just limit things. Like limit, I don't know, sector 100 is your maximum or something.
Well, I've actually found that how far you out, how far you are out, doesn't actually affect the performance. It usually has to do with if some asshole is parked like a core on a planet.
Yep.
Anything to do with planets or other ships, you avoid like the plague. You go find a plague doctor to set your server on fire, and then you run away for the hills.
It's almost like physics just needs to turn off if there's no one nearby. But I bet that's already a thing, so it can't be that simple.
I agree
totally.
Also, turning off the sector rotation helps a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we used to do that
in the old plate planets.
We've seen like 50% of the processing power go down.
Wow!
In usage.
It helped with the ships that were parked in sector borders.
That's
interesting. Planets would
ram into ships.
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was horrible.
I used to jack it up at one point, so it was like 4 times faster. Oh my god, it looked amazing. But it was a bit weird, like when people came in, like when people were coming in from another sector, you'd see them coming and they'd hit the sector boundary, and it was like they got on a roundabout, because they just suddenly like jump around and then be like going in to the left or whatever. It was quite fun.
I still get confused when I change between a star system and a void system.
Oh man, those black systems are... I'm like, oh my god, it's a black system again, turn around.
I just get so confused. I'm like, I'm disorientated, which way do I go?
It's just not shiny enough for me, you know? I like those procedural backgrounds. Oh,
oh yeah, I've got a lovely red background.
Remember back in the day when StarMade didn't have backgrounds?
But
back in my day.
It was just the same static star background everywhere.
Yeah.
So
it was beautiful.
Servers.
If Schema is listening, I want it back. I want it as an option. I want my static background.
Have an old school mode.
Well, I've basically got a similar story from the fleet. From January till about March, we were on a virtual server which had about 8 gigs of RAM. We got a good deal by sending them a nice email and linking my YouTube and really like being nice to them by getting ourselves a dedicated node. So we were the only virtual server on that box, okay, which gave us a little bit more, you know, but it wasn't good enough, and we had to move on to a dedicated box, much like you have the same experience pretty much. So we managed to get ourselves a 24 gig server with 20 in the game, and it runs on a 3.5 gigahertz i5 Haswell, but I think it only has SATA hard drives. It's not SSD, like I say. But one thing we do have is we have a really good deal on our switch. There's no rate limiting, so if there's any burst traffic, it doesn't take us away. We have the full 10100 on our switch, which gives us a good output across. I think we're something like 50 milliseconds across the Atlantic and about 60 to Asia. But it's like, it's funny because Comcast has given us jip at the minute. The biggest problems we have is international ISPs that just for some reason block everyone in England. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. And suddenly everyone's hitting like 100, they're picking up 150 ping before they even leave America, you know, just going through their normal routing. But aside from that, everything's running real smooth now. Like, we're not seeing the rubber banding that we used to see. The debris is truly awesome. Oh my god. But yeah.
Yeah, we've had some weird happenings with performance. When was the, was there anything that happened in StarMade? October 8th? Around October 8th?
Last year?
No, this year.
What? Well, a week ago?
Yeah, like a week ago, yeah. That's the one. we've seen some problems with load.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What it was that, but it was the saving thing. Basically, every time you autosave, it was saving all the empty space. So
Skinner
put a couple of flags in there so that it skips the empty space, and then it knows if you've updated a chunk. And then if the chunk isn't updated, it doesn't save.
That's so. This is the load between of our server. The top bar is 100%. We're around. There's a noticeable spike for a little bit.
What do you mean?
That's
you
how
me
much
to send
of the
that
processing
to chat
power. Or? Oh yeah, yeah.
What?
Forgot to say that. That's the processing power that's used on our server.
Processing power.
Yeah. Like how much our CPU is being used at the time.
But I thought you said that you reduced the orbit, so if you had 50% more than that, you'd have more than 150%. Oh my god! I think you're running it on Y-holes, aren't you?
Yes.
What?
Run everything on Y-holes.
He's getting more than 100%.
Y'holes.
Okay. Well, while I can, I'm going to shut off your ranting there and ask another question on this. Of course, both of you have pretty big servers, but not everyone is going to have a massive server. So not everyone's going to have to go and buy themselves a dedicated box just to run a server for their friends.
No. You can just port forward your computer and you can have up to 5 people on there. If you want to go any bigger, there's virtual servers. And there's actually one-click installs that you can go and pay $5 a month.
I was going to say, I've noticed a lot of very cheap servers there.
Yeah, like... Another thing off the top of my head is, like, Amazon has their cloud services that, from I hear, are pretty cheap.
Well, and the CPU's not very good on them, mate. I did try it out.
It depends on which packages you buy, but
it's too expensive to make it good. That's what I mean.
The real benefit for the people who want to start out small is finding some review site. Find someone who can talk about and who knows about server hosting and see what they have to say with current hosts. Because there's it is its own market in its own sense. There's people
who
review, there's people who use, and there's people who buy servers.
Yep.
And whenever you have that, you have people from the community reviewing it. Game reviewers and there's server reviewers is the same.
For sure.
One tip I personally always stick to is never use any host that says they specifically for a certain game, or they don't give you access to do things by yourself. I personally don't like that, because they're usually caught with their pants down whenever you ask them a question, or they're just ripping you off most of the time.
If it says DDoS protection, just run away, because that's the snake oil of service. There's no such thing. You can turn it off, that'll stop it. Literally.
It depends. If you see it for free, you're probably not getting what you think you're getting. If you see if you're paying 10 grand a month for it,
yeah,
it's probably what you think it is.
Yeah, there you go. That's the difference, basically.
That's the difference. What people don't realize is usually stuff like that is some guy sitting in front of a computer 24/7.
With a reseller account, fancy website.
And trying to make everything run smoothly. I've spoken to some of those people. They very much do get compensated for the work. And that doesn't come out of the pocket of the business hosting the servers for you. That comes out of your pocket.
Yeah.
That's what I've always seen.
NASA was running off of a bot that had some pretty impressive stats. It was, we were paying upwards of $100 a month for NAS.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of it wasn't being used very well at all. It was kind of being mismanaged as well. We knocked it down, and right now we're paying $5 a month for a very basic server. If you want to see a very basic server just running and people having fun, go on to NAS, putz around for a little while, and that's the kind of the sort of performance you're going to get out of one of these, you know, inexpensive servers.
Also, don't, for God's sake, try to get something which has a bandwidth, and you need unlimited bandwidth, okay? We do a terabyte of bandwidth every month, okay? And we haven't even been that active. Our record was actually 10 terabytes of bandwidth in 1 month, okay? So just keep that in mind if you are thinking about starting the next big StarMade server.
It depends. It really depends on how many players you have.
But running at a low idle for us, it's a terabyte a month, mate. You know,
we never go past like 100 gigs on Eternity, and the big thing about bandwidth is if you're hosting with a dedicated server company or you're co-locating, they're gonna definitely get as much money as they can from you out of the bandwidth.
But they don't charge me for it, so it doesn't. It's irrelevant with my stats, isn't it? And you can use a lot of bandwidth in this game, mate. It's not fair to tell people that it's going to be only a little amount.
Yeah, I personally, from my experiences, have never seen the server use more than 30 gigs.
If we're running an event, dude, we can do 30 in a night. Easy. Easy.
Your mileage may vary on this, because there is a fundamental difference between Mushroom Fleet and L1 Eternity, just as a big difference between us and you guys and NAS. NAS probably doesn't push anywhere near that 10 gig limit.
Yeah,
we're very limited in what we do, and we just kind of keep this, you know, small and simple.
But
we had a guy show up a few days ago who wanted to run event for the server, and I'm like, no, this server cannot handle events. We're just basically, hey, join the game, see what you like, and if we're not the server for you, then please, there's many, many other servers that are out there that are better than us. Go for
it. It's just, I don't want anyone to get stuck with a 12-month contract and a bandwidth charge when...
One thing that the first thing that, when I was learning about server hosting and server administration was one of the people I know told me, never buy more than a month at a time from a host, because hosts have a very large tendency to be dicks at any moment. And whenever you have someone in charge of something that you own, you think you own, there's going to be a problem eventually. You have to make sure that a lot of contracts say you can't get refunds. There's lots of funny things in contracts.
Like if you cancel, pay the full year, for example. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's always a nice one, yeah. Or if we don't approve of your usage, we won't refund you and we'll remove your services. That happens in some less progressive countries. Say that. Where if you have like a blog on there or something, and they say, well, we don't allow blogs or we don't allow websites on our server hosting, we're taking your money. They do that off. They sometimes do that, but...
Yeah, I think we were talking about terms and conditions earlier, but we skipped over it, right? Don't skip over them. Read them.
Yeah, there's always somebody who sneaks something in the fine print. But, there's a lot more stuff that goes into finding a server right for you than just watching a podcast. You gotta know what... You gotta do some reading.
So, yeah, let's move on to our final section here, still on the technical aspects. This is the part that I believe is going to be embarrassing to the Ellen guys, as they've already told me. The price of keeping up a large server such as theirs.
Yeah. Well.
Fun. Should we take estimates?
I'll write my number on a piece of paper, and then you write yours, and we'll see whose is bigger. we've had a very nice community. A lot of them have donated to help keep the server running. I think we've scratched somewhere over three figures now, which is, for someone who doesn't have a job and who's still in high school, a lot of money. There's a lot of stuff I could do with that much money. But that goes all directly into the server, into our community, and we do put it to use. We have a very large network architecture to run our community. I'm one of the doomsday preppers who likes to make sure that if hell freezes over, my servers are still going to be running.
Like the TeamSpeak server?
Listen, Daedalus is very upset that I put the TeamSpeak server in the Netherlands. And he doesn't understand that they're politically stable, they stay out of wars often, they're usually neutral to most countries.
It was the cheapest.
Listen, that's besides the point. they're nice people, they stay neutral in most conflicts. What was that?
It's a competitive service.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. We
Mate, our TeamSpeak provider is just a guy, and he does it for a second job. So it's like, yeah.
We don't use a provider.
I know him.
We have another server. Well, I
think that's the fourth one. Yeah, you can set it up yourself. That's true. But, you know, redundancy. Oh. Yeah.
We have actually a TeamSpeak server on all the...
So how much does it cost you every month?
It doesn't... I have a yearly...
No, the main server.
Oh, the main server. Around $80 a month.
$80.
If people wow. donate, then that goes down significantly because that's just the base cost.
CS is £100. So I don't even know what that is in dollars.
It's I don't know what
that's
I don't know
difference
how British,
between
how
our server
money works.
And...
I think it's £1.3 per dollar.
Is that Doctor Who money, or is that the Americans?
Well, 1.5 means that you've got the Monopoly money, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'd be $128.73 US dollars.
Yes.
Not at that rate, mate. Have you checked the exchange rates?
That's
the Google. That will be the Google translation of it. You
really?
Can add two currencies into Google, and it'll give you the translation.
Really?
That's
do we need
what it?
It
is.
Do we really need the exact
so
price
100...
down? Down to
well,
the
say,
nearest cent or pence. I don't
I'd
think
say
so.
No.
Close enough. Well, I would say 160 is a nice round number, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Right, it's right up there.
But then if you went to one and one...
Foreigners and your foreign money.
Like, if you went to one and one and picked the same server, it would probably be that much.
But, how much do you... what resources do you have for Mushroom Fleet?
That.
What?
What I just said, that. I already went over it, didn't I?
No. What resources do you have for Mushroom Fleet?
Resources?
Yeah.
As in...
Memory, CPU power...
I did go over it. I think it's a 3.5... It's a 3.5 gigahertz i5 Haswell. It's got 20 gigabytes of memory for the whole thing. I use a bunch of Java commands to make sure it's got it all, and it's nice. It actually is, using nice. But then that's a Linux thing. Let's see, that's it. Oh yeah, that's right. No rate limiting on the switch, a 10-100 connection, and we're the only piece, we're the only person on the box. It is, you know, on the switch rather, yeah. So on a new node.
I remember when I was the first customer, I'm actually the first customer of the first hosting company we used. Which being back was a bad decision, but it turned out working very well.
Well, once they got all of the summers off their system, I'm sure they'll get unblocked again and it'll be fine. That's the thing with those new server startups.
It turned out great. The guy's nice. I talk from now and again. But what was very nice was the first time I logged in and I downloaded a file, I got 10 gigs a second download. And I was like, well, that's new. Uh-huh. You don't see that every day. I really do miss that network connection because that was a thing of beauty.
But the bottom line is it does cost money and it's not, you know, everyone plays for free for the most part. So it's like we are donation run. I mean, I know I've earned just over $1,000 from YouTube and it's all gone into server costs and TeamSpeak costs. So like plus donations, we're just about paying the bill. You know what I mean?
$1,000
people,
from YouTube.
People wanted more money. Hey.
$1,000 from YouTube, I think, at the end of this game.
Over a year, yeah. Well, when you think about it, mate, £1,000 for 1,500 videos, what's that, 75p a go? How long does it take to make a video?
Daedalus, get the plebs, come on.
Yeah, like I say, I think that the bottom line is if you want to do a server, you need a good recruitment advert and you need a nice forum or at least some place where people can go and get in touch with you. You do that and you're onto a winner.
Yeah. Red, white, blue shift, best campaign I've ever done.
My God.
Okay, guys, we probably need to wrap this up now. Really, anything that anyone wants to say before we wrap this up?
I want my static universe image back.
Stay in drugs, don't do school.
Stay in drugs, don't do school.
Hats.
Bacon.
Actually, I second bacon, never mind. You're yours, Daedalus, bacon.
Excellent, I win.
So, yeah, I guess that's about it for us tonight. This has been StarMade Episode 6, also known as How is Babby Server Formed? I'm Fire29, here with a crapload of people.
Yay.
Also, a crapload of people that have been watching this stream. I've actually been paying attention, and actually seems like we have our record amount of viewers right now. See, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 21 viewers total. Holy crap.
I see 23, bro.
I do as well. 23.
Huh. So, okay, so 23.
Hold on, let me just open up my other computers. Let's make this 50. I like round numbers.
So, yeah. That's awesome. Thanks for watching, people. But I guess we're about done here for tonight. So thanks for watching and see you next time. Say bye, everybody.
Bye.
Stay classy, StarMade.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I really want the sound effect from Sherlock. Bye.
And goodbye.
Bye.
This has been the StarFeed Podcast. We will see you next time.